we extend to you a warm-hearted welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our Lord Jesus, when he called the disciples, said, "I will make you fishers of men." In this series of sermons, I am centering my thoughts on what he really meant. Today we learn from his ministry that to be a fisher of men, you've got to love people. And that's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today, and we invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we can only look to you to learn what it is to love and to love people. We realize that it is different than what the Word would include in that statement. To love means that we are really going to give ourselves to you first, and then to those who are around us, to serve them with that eternal message of God's love in Jesus Christ, to be sensitive to their needs, to be willing to make sacrifices where it is necessary, and at all times to forgive even those who are supposedly our enemies. Speak to us, O God, through your word this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter therein." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to
friends in Christ. What did Jesus mean when he said to his disciples upon calling them, "I will make you fishers of men"? Well, we learned at the beginning of this series of sermons that the first thing necessary is that the person who is going to be a witness for Jesus Christ has first got to be in a living personal relationship with him. You cannot share something that you do not have. And so if you have not experienced God's love and grace, then obviously it's pretty difficult to do any more than repeat a lesson which might have very little meaning for you until once it has been a part of your life. Last week in the study, we learned that we have to know what our role is, and that is simply to plant the seed and leave the rest with God. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us another very, very important verse. It is found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where our Lord Jesus Christ says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." To love someone was nothing new. For example, the Greek philosophers had taught that people were to love one another. There are many passages in the Old Testament that talk about the love for another person. But today Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you," brings out another meaning. It is new because he tells us the kind of a love that is expected of us. That is a quality that Christ demonstrates for us in his relationship to people. And therefore, when we hear the word today, there is to be a love for people. It is a love which you might call Jesus style. I have come to the conclusion, after serving in the ministry for a lot of years, that the pastor must have two basic qualifications. The first is he must love God with all of his heart, soul, and mind. No, the love is never perfect, but there has got to be a love, a drawing to him that has come from a personal relationship with him. Without that, I don't see how any person can carry on very long as a pastor in the church. The second thing there has to be is a love for people. And if we don't have that love for people, I can't imagine how you would want to try to be their pastor. Now, let me hurry on to explain a little bit here. I think that there are people who really like people. And in one sense of the word, I imagine you could say that they love people in that they just like to be around them. Then there are other people who don't necessarily like to be around people. But if you get down deep into their hearts, you see that there is a tremendous love for the individual. I recall a friend of mine from seminary days. He was a unique person. He kind of sat by himself in the classroom, and it did not bother him to go into the cafeteria and eat his lunch alone. I became rather interested in him, and we became friends, not close friends, but friends. He was a great person. He had a great mind. While he was studying to become a pastor and to get his theological degree, he was also working on his PhD at the University of Minnesota. He had a great mind, and often he would expound some of these great truths that were within him in the classroom. Even the professor liked to listen to him and let him have the floor more than once. We graduated from the seminary, and I didn't see him for years and years. And then one day in another part of the country, I was preaching, and after the service was over, here came my friend, and he shook my hand, and we had an interesting visit together. Obviously, my first question was, "What are you doing out here?" And he said, "Oh, I serve two little churches." "Did you ever get your PhD degree?" "Yes, I did." "Do you like the ministry?" "I love it." "Tell me about your congregations." "Well, they're very, very small, but they are some wonderful people, and we share some of the marvelous truths of God's word. So we get along very, very well." Then he went on to tell me, "You recall when we were at the seminary, I guess that most of you would have thought that I was a loner." And I guess I was. I don't really like to be around a lot of people. I don't like big congregations. I wouldn't want your congregation. I just don't like to have to do the chit-chatting of the day." But here was a person, friend, who had learned to love people. When I look at the 12 disciples, I don't think that all of them were necessarily bouncing extroverts. Certainly Peter was, maybe John was, maybe some of the others that we know a little about, maybe Matthew. But when we get into some of these others, I wonder if perhaps the reason that we know so little about them is that they were willing to set themselves aside. And they did not necessarily want to be with a crowd. They did not necessarily want to preach a sermon on Pentecost Sunday, but they loved people. And so they went on to tell the story of Jesus Christ, and without a doubt were used mightily by the Holy Spirit as the gospel of Jesus Christ began its way into this old world. Loving people goes beyond liking them. Now, obviously, if you love them, I would think that you would have to like them. I'm not a specialist in this whole area, but I find that to be true. I happen to be a person who likes to be around people. My family used to criticize me a little bit because we never went on a vacation, it seemed, together alone. We always had two or three other families going with us. That was kind of fun, wasn't it? I could enjoy a vacation on Manhattan, and Times Square was a great place for me to go. But when I tell that to some of my friends, "Hey, you're going to Times Square for a vacation, or you're going to Manhattan or something like that," they look at me and say, "Is there something wrong with you?" Well, I do like people. But that's got to be something far more beyond it than that. It is not just liking people that we're talking about today. It is loving them. And here we have the quality of that love, that we love one another just as Jesus Christ has loved us. Now, obviously, that's a very, very high goal, And without a doubt, we're not going to quite make it, but our point is to work towards that goal. Now, I have three characteristics in that love that Jesus Christ has for us that I would like to bring to our attention this morning. That's why I read that passage of Scripture where they were bringing children to Jesus that he might bless them. In other words, I believe that the people who were bringing the children primarily were mothers. They had learned of this Jesus and the marvelous things that he had done. And now they wanted their children to receive a blessing from him. But when they got there, the disciples said, "He's too busy. He has more important people to talk to today than to visit with you and your children." So they sent the mothers away. Jesus, seeing all of this out of the corner of his eye, I believe, said, "Stop it." And then he uttered these words, "Permit these little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." That night, when they were talking over the day, I believe that Jesus said to those disciples, "Look, here is a very, very important verse. You must, if you want to be fishers of men, love people. Love as I have loved. Watch me, and I'll show you how to love." What was he telling them? Here is one characteristic of love. If you love someone, you are sensitive to their needs. Those mothers had a need. They wanted their little children blessed by the Savior. The disciples had no feeling for that whatsoever. If you love someone, you have to be sensitive to where they are. To stop and ask the question, where did they come from? What are the circumstances in their lives today? What are their hurts? You see, friend, that's a part of loving people. Let me take you to the second characteristic that I would turn your attention to this morning, or this afternoon, or evening, or whenever you listen to our Christian Crusaders program. That deals with this whole matter of being willing to make sacrifices. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that if there's going to be love in our hearts, then certainly there has to be a willingness to sacrifice. For that's exactly the way that it was with our Lord. God loved us so much that he gave his Son, and his Son came, and he loved us so much that he gave himself. Notice all of the sacrificing that is going on. So here in the fourth chapter of 1 John, verses 9 and 10, we have this word. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us," now notice, "and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." In other words, what God is saying, if I say that I love you, it means that I must not only be sensitive to where you are, but realizing where you are as sinners, helpless in and of yourself, I have to make the atoning sacrifice, and therefore I have given my Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He died, you can be forgiven. That's sacrifice, that's love, and that's a characteristic of a fisher of men. Certainly we cannot begin to think of a sacrifice like that as far as we ourselves are concerned, but there is that place when we say that we love God, and that when we want to be one of his servants and we want to be a fisher of men, that you and I have to extend that sacrificial love to those who are round about us. You see it demonstrated from a human point of view with parents. Parents who are willing to make all kinds of sacrifices for their children. It is a demonstration of their love. When the person has come to a commitment and trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there is going to be an element of sacrifice. You're going to see that sacrifice in the giving of their money. You're going to see that sacrifice in the giving of their time. There's something wrong in a congregation when you can't find committed men and women of God to teach the little children in the Sunday school. When you go into a church and it's about time to really get going in the fall, and suddenly the pastor stands there or even sends up somebody from the Sunday school to plead and beg with people to come and teach these little ones, can't get them. There should be a list of people who say, I would like to teach these children. I am willing to sacrifice. I am willing to be faithful in my attendance on Sunday morning. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me. He made that sacrifice for me. I'm willing to sacrifice myself. It isn't very much, giving a few hours to teach this marvelous message. You can hardly call it a sacrifice, but let's do it. And then thirdly, the characteristic is forgiveness. Forgiveness. You notice Jesus on the cross of Calvary, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they doeth. If God said that he loved this world, including all of his enemies who were there under the cross, crucifying him, the one who was hanging by his side, railing at him, then he had to be willing to forgive them. Here is the word. When somebody came and asked him about this whole matter of forgiveness, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. In other words, you forgive. A real fisher of men is sensitive to the needs of those whom he works with. He's willing to make sacrifices. He doesn't work the hours. He doesn't say, this is my day off, you can't touch me. I learned that in the seminary or wherever it might have been. He realizes that he is not hired, he's called. And what is true of a pastor is also true of a good layperson. Jesus is trying to make us fishers of men. And so he teaches us this in his word. And as we walk with him, he helps us to experience it. There was Peter the boaster. I'll never deny you, Lord. And Jesus looked at him and was sensitive to his needs and loved him. He knew how wrong he was. There was Peter who was the denier, and Jesus looked into his face as he walked by on his way to trial. And he thought, oh, Peter, I know the hurt in your heart, but I will sacrifice myself for that sin too, Peter. And then there was that day when he met him by the sea and said, Peter, I forgive you. That's love. It took 8 years for me to complete the theological training to become a pastor in our Lutheran church. Then it was over. I graduated, got my degree, went on and was ordained, and served for those years in the ministry of the church. Let me tell you this. It will take a lifetime to learn how to be a fisher of people. But even though we never master the calling, God will still use us and keep telling us what it is to be a fisher of men. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and after thy will, while shall sing, Christ only, always living in me. Christ only, always living in me. Living in me.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continually remind us of what it is to be a fisher of men. You have taught us well that we are to love people. We pray, God, that you may again lead us by the hand, that we may not only know that we're to love people, but that we actually do it. Forgive us our sin where so often we have been showing all kinds of malice, all kinds of irritation, all kinds of anger towards another person, especially if that individual has done something to us. Help us to understand that the true fisher of men is a lover of people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us to buy radio time on 34 stations in 12 states across our nation. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.